Proverbs chapter 14. Proverbs chapter 14. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 23. The Bible says, "In all labor there is profit, but the talk of the lips tendeth only to penury." And so I tell this, there is true profit in true labor. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you for this day that you have given to us. And Lord, I just ask that you would work in each of our hearts and guide and direct our thoughts as your will would have it, Father, that our lives would bring glory to your name. And Father, if there be one here this morning that does not know you as Savior, that they would realize the great need and great importance that there is in placing one's faith in you. Father, we just thank you that your word is true and your promises are true. And Father, that you will not let them fall to the ground in vain. And Father, we just thank you that when you speak of eternal life, that's exactly what it is. Father, we pray for those that have been invited to the church this week, that have been invited to read a gospel tract this week, that you would touch their lives once again this morning, and we'll just thank you for what you'll do now in Jesus' name. Amen. Once again, this verse says here, verse 23, in all labor there is profit. I cannot say that there is always profit in everybody's so-called labor. But when we speak of labor in this sense, we're talking about a true labor. Labor, the word labor, according to Merriam-Webster's, is expenditure of physical or mental effort, especially when difficult or compulsory. Human activity that provides the goods or services in an economy. The services performed by workers for wages. So I guess the idea of what labor is. And then it says profit there. In all labor there is profit. Profit simply means a valuable return, gain. And in my thinking, I was thinking, well, this must be something productive then. So productive means having the quality or power of producing, especially in abundance, yielding results, benefits, or profits. And so as we think about this verse again, it says, in all labor there is profit. In other words, what I am doing, what I am exerting my energy into, should be giving me some kind of a gain. Some kind of a gain. And we know from Scripture that a profit isn't necessarily a monetary sum. It can be many different things. But one thing is true. True labor is good. It is not wicked. Because if it is wrong, it cannot be productive. Any kind of activity... Well, any activity does not produce a profit, only a good one. And please go with me to Proverbs chapter 10. Proverbs chapter 10. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 2. It says, "Treasures of wickedness profit nothing, but righteousness delivereth from death." Treasures of wickedness profit nothing. So often the prisoners will tell us there at the, whether I'm in Ionia or here in the King County Honor Camp, that they were making good money. But it's funny how they always end up in jail. They always end up in jail. And you begin to talk to them, and it'll come out that they were doing drugs, or that they were picked up because of breaking and entering. And it is amazing to me to see them, as they will tell you this, there's no remorse. Never once have they thought about it being wrong or wicked. For them, it was an easy catch, an easy job, an easy way to get money, supposedly a profit. But God said here very clearly that it is no profit at all. It brings no gain. If you steal $10 just to be able to sit in jail for 10 weeks, there's no gain there. That's a big loss. And just because you want to sell weed and get $1,000 to sit 9 months in jail, there's no gain there. But to get them to understand that, first of all, they have to realize that they're lost and that there's a great need. But so true labor cannot be true labor if you're doing something that's wrong. In any given facet, it's like when you send your child off to do a little job. Maybe it's take out the trash. And you come up and you say, so-and-so, I thought I told you to take out the trash. Well, I did. Well, just taking the bag out of the trash can and taking it out and leaving everything that's fallen around the outside of that trash can isn't the full job. Or maybe there's the kitchen trash and there's a bathroom trash and there's a bedroom trash. And if you only take out one and you don't take out that bedroom trash where all those diapers are at, you still have trash in the house. And so God wants us to be profitable. There is true profit and true labor, and that is because God desires it so. Go with me, if you will, to Isaiah 48. Isaiah chapter 48. Isaiah chapter 48, verse 17. Isaiah 48, verse 17. Understanding that he's talking to Israel specifically here, but in Isaiah 48, verse 17, the Bible says, "Thus saith the Lord thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord thy God, which teacheth thee to profit, which leadeth thee by the way that thou shouldest go." And I have to say that that verse in and of itself is for us today too. Now, he might have had a specific purpose for them at that time, but it was simply that they didn't go after Baal, they didn't go after Ashtaroth, they weren't serving and being proud themselves as they were in Sodom and Gomorrah and being lazy and an abundance of idleness. He simply wanted them to do his will, to be productive, to have profit in their lives. And he says there that he taught them to profit, and he would teach us to profit today. In order to do so, he must be our teacher. So that means we're all students. How well did we listen in school? I've heard some people just this week say, man, I wish I would have listened better in math or history. I wish I would have paid more attention in science. And I would say that a lot of us do say that as adults. So think about that for a second. How well did you listen in school? How well did you study? Did you pay attention? Or were you one of those that was listening with half an ear and was doodling with the rest of your time? You know, I have to restrict our kids now and some of the times where they have pen and paper, because their eyes may be fixed on something, but that doesn't mean that's what they're thinking about, you know? And oftentimes we can have the Word of God on our lips, but that does not mean that our heart is meditating upon it. And so God is our teacher. How well are we listening? And then it's not just a factor of listening, it's putting it into practice. It's like any student who would be in a college today studying business. You can have all of that head knowledge up there, but if you have no practicality of it, you can't put it into action, it does you no good. And so a person then can have their mind full of the Word of God, but it isn't bringing any profit if they don't use it. God wants us to be profitable, using what we have to be productive. And I'll be honest, this week I was reminded again of this as we've just finished up a big roof job in on Plainfield. The owner is Korean, and he owned some dry cleaning stores, and he has sold them. But this man is extremely well off, extremely well off. And as you hear him, he's lived here 34 years, and he lived in Korea 29 years. So he's lived here more than he ever lived in Korea. But he took advantage. If you listen to him, he took advantage of all the opportunities he had. And now today, he has a son that travels the world making millions of dollars. He has a daughter in New York who's a lawyer, and another daughter who works for a section of the government that hires and fires government officials, making big money. And I just had to stand in awe at his simple lessons that he taught his kids to take advantage, not in a wrong fashion, but when there was an opportunity to learn, to study, to fill out an application, they did so, and now they're wealthy-wise sitting in a great position. And that was from some people that were struggling with the language through the whole time. If you hear it, talk to them today, sometimes you're going to have to read between the lines to get the entire idea that he's trying to express. And so, my friends, as we have the Word of God and the Holy Spirit can teach us, we don't have to worry about it, what it means in between the lines, because the Holy Spirit is there to teach us all things, all truth, the Word of God tells us. Are we taking advantage of this great opportunity to learn and then profit from it? Because God wants us to profit. It says very clear here in the middle of the verse, I am the Lord thy God, which teacheth thee to profit, which leadeth thee by the way that thou shouldest go. There's two times in my life when I specifically remember thinking this thought. How will I ever be able to do this? And one of those, in the first time, was when I was in high school trying to learn to type. And we had a little DOS program at the school, and you start out with your fingers in the right spot, and one hits R, and then it hits whatever's below that. And this one would hit J, or whatever's above that. And you're thinking, how am I ever going to remember, this is what I thought, all of these keys without looking at it, because that was part of the test. Every couple weeks, we had to take a test without looking at the keys, looking at our book, and it would time us, and it would give us our errors. Well, those first few weeks were terrible, and I thought, how am I ever going to be able to do this? And yet today, you don't even think about where the letters are. You just, you're the words in your mind, and you're just rattling it out. And the second time in my life that I remember specifically thinking that was the moment that we hit the language school. And this little lady is just... And the teacher had told, or the administrator told us that we were going to have to pay a peso for every English word we said during the class. And it was mind-boggling to me. It truly was. Now, it brought Julie and the other lady to tears one day. And to me, it was just like, get me out of here, I'm going to pull my hair out. I remember one day the teacher specifically said to me to do a task, and I caught maybe the first word, and then I had no idea what she wanted me to do. And I sat there, and I knew everybody was either looking at themselves thinking, why doesn't he say something? And I couldn't figure it out in my mind, and I finally said in English, I have no idea what you want me to do. And then she said in English, she goes, oh, 10 pesos. I mean, just as cold-hearted as you can imagine. And there are times when it does seem like you get overloaded with information. Maybe you're at the beginning of a session, a class, maybe for your work. You have to take some refresher courses, or I know even my father-in-law, Myers, every once in a while, he has to take a test for safety and for management scenarios. And maybe it just seems like you're overloaded and you just can't handle it. But God wants us to be productive. And he wants us to get gain, to be profitable. That's one of the reasons why he left us the parable of the talents. He wanted those people to get gain. He wanted them to reach a level of success. Maybe not humanly speaking, but definitely spiritually speaking. And as my fingers begin to practice the positions of those keys, I begin to understand how I could look at a book and not look at the keyboard, and the words would be spelled right. And as we begin to say a word and then a phrase, slowly we forgot about the factor of, do I have to think in Spanish? Do I have to think in English? It just came out like it was supposed to some of the time. And it was because of practice. And I would dare say that's with anything. Whether you talk to Dave Ramsey or whoever you want to talk to, it's with practice. Knowledge, the Word of God tells us the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And so this knowledge that he gives to us, put into a life of a practice, is bound to bring profit. And I'll tell you something, all of these the tracts and Bible courses that come back today and you see every week in the bulletin were because decades ago, somebody started writing some Bible courses. And decades ago, those started getting passed out. So that today, it seems like there's a lot of profit. But years ago, we almost never heard a response, did we? Almost never. And I say we because anybody who's participating in that has a part, whether it's prayer and collating and stapling. I remember that Dad would be there in the typewriter, and maybe part of it get printed out, and it, some of it would be wrong. So that paper was scrapped. And you know, then they come out with this typewriter that you could program in so many lines of text, and so you'd be typing, and you'd only see maybe, I don't know, 20 characters or so, 20 letters, and all of a sudden it would just start going and printing out all these letters, and then all of a sudden maybe there was an error. Scrap that page. He went through a lot of whiteout too in those days, and so there was a lot of intense labor typing, making sure things were done right. And then I can remember that we, you know, there was no computers, and so it was like rubbing off these letters in the right spot, you know, on the covers of whether it be the track or the Bible courses, and if it didn't turn out right, scrap that one. We start again, rubbing more letters off. There was a lot of intense labor, and that's what our definition says. Labor, expenditure of physical or mental efforts, especially when difficult or compulsory. I looked up that word compulsory, and that means you have to. There's no questions about it. And within that definition, it talked about jail labor, and it gave the illustration of breaking rocks. They had to do it. There was no questions asked. And sometimes we feel that great need to do this no matter what. Maybe not necessarily with the right attitude, and that's where we can lose some of the profit. Because in this profit comes joy and contentment. But there is true profit and true labor. Now you think of this with me for a second. If you were the inventor or creator of something as maybe Alexander Graham Bell, who worked and worked and worked on that telegram wire and worked to get that telephone situation working. And he ran into many obstacles, but he spent night and day and day and night skipping meals, trying to figure out how to make this thing work or why it wasn't working exactly how he thought. Your greatest desire would be to sacrifice whatever necessary to make this thing productive. Now, if you read the story of Alexander Graham Bell, he was not, as an early inventor, a wealthy person. He was a teacher of the deaf. And no teacher ever made $1 million. But his desire was to see that invention reach success, be profitable. He probably was not thinking about his pocketbook at the time, but rather the communication world. And you think about yourselves today. Some have children, some are grandparents, some are young, but whatever you put your hands to that you have interest in, you want it to see a level of success. Whether it's kids coloring a picture, you want it to be pretty, or whether it's someone working on a motor, you want it to work. Whether you're remodeling, you want it to look nice. Whether you're sewing, you want it to fit right. You want that profit to be there, that success to be there. And that's exactly the way Christ felt before he ever came to this world. He wanted to complete a certain success so that a lot of people would have a chance to go to heaven. And you go with me, please, to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Verse 10. Hebrews 12, 10. It says, "For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness." And this verse is talking about chastening and how much labor is involved in chastening or correcting parents. There's so much time and so much energy, and probably way more than half of that responsibility falls on the mothers because dads are gone. And it's like a Mexican lady was telling us yesterday. She said, "Most men come home from their work and they put their feet up and they expect us to serve them." That's what she was saying. You know, and it was all ladies there except for me. I was like, okay, where does that put me? you know? And she said, years ago, my husband used to help me, you know, fold the laundry and prepare the meals, and now he doesn't do a thing. And I was like, well, where's that put me, you know, in this lady conversation here? So, you know, there are times when men need to pick up a lot of slack. But here the Word of God very clearly is talking about a chastening factor and how that God also is chastening his children because he wants them to reach a level of profit. It says there, for verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit. For our profit. Go with me to Luke chapter 2 for a second here. Luke chapter 2. Remembering our definition about labor, that it can be physical or mental, but it's an expenditure. It's something we're giving out. In Luke chapter 2, we find that labor involves sacrifice. True labor to reach true profit requires sacrifice. And when this was all being planned out in heaven beforehand, before the foundations of the world, the Bible tells us, there was plans for sacrifice. Great plans for great sacrifices. And we see that here in Luke chapter 2, verse 5. It says, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. I can remember that when we were on deputation, Julie was expecting, on, I don't know, Elizabeth or Andrew, I'm not sure which, but we got to a certain place, and we were in town, and there was narrow streets. And all of a sudden, the door flew open, Julie was out. She wasn't doing too well. And got sick, and I felt bad, because here we are driving all over the countryside, up and down hills, over bumps, and all kinds of situations. And she's expecting. But at the same time, we have springs, and shocks, and soft seats. Not a donkey to be riding on for miles and miles and miles. So you think about Mary and this sacrifice that she had to be willing to give to be with Joseph, to go to this tax time, to go to over here to Bethlehem. And so there was a great sacrifice on her part. And it says in verse 6, and so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. Another sacrifice. She couldn't be at home. She was in a strange place. And whether the climate was wonderful or not, that wasn't part of the plan or wasn't part of her decision. It was the time, and so it took place. Verse 7, she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Maybe they had prepared a special place for the baby in their house when it would be born, and maybe they had the clothes set aside there, but when Joseph said it was time to go, how much luggage do you think they took with them? You know, it's not like they brought a Penske truck with them to take all of their stuff wherever they went. So there was sacrifices. From the very beginning of the physical life of Christ, there was sacrifice all the way to the end so that we could reap the profit, understand the gift of eternal life. And that's why I said before that in all profit, there's not labor on our part, because there's many things that we receive that we did not labor, and that's like Jesus told his disciples that some would reap, or they didn't water. And folks, in our lives, we need to understand that to reach this level of profit success, we must be willing to sacrifice as well. Now go with me to Matthew chapter 10. In Christ's life, it wasn't an easy road. We've seen sacrifice at the beginning. We know there was sacrifice at the end. But understand here in Matthew chapter 10 that he lived a life of labor. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 10, verse 34, Matthew 10, 34, think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. That requires labor to send a sword. Go with me to Mark chapter 2. Mark chapter 2, verse 17. Mark 2, verse 17. The Bible says here in Mark chapter 2, verse 17, when Jesus heard it, he saith unto them, they that are whole have no need of a physician, but they that are sick, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. That takes work. One, to get their attention. Two, to convince them of their great need. Try to be a salesman. Has anybody ever been a salesman and enjoyed it? Not me. I am not a salesman. Working at the hardware store, you know, there's all these new products that come in. And, well, these Eden Pure heaters. How many of you have not heard of an Eden Pure heater? Anybody not heard of one? Okay, well, it's a heater that supposedly is going to cost you 3 cents an hour to operate. And it will reduce your heat bill by up to 50% until you read all the instructions and find out that it doesn't make any sense at all, because in order to save all this money, you have to turn your furnace down 17 degrees at least, and you have to keep everybody in one room and use this Eden Pure heater. And as you move your family, you move the heater with you. And that's how you save money, by working harder for it. And anyway, so, you know, these people were coming in, and Sean, the manager, did not like how I was handling these people that were asking about the Eden Pure heater, you know. He says, well, you'll never be a salesman. I'm like, hey, I'm not going to lie to people. I'm going to tell them, it says this, but this is what it actually does. And there's been a couple of people that have bought these heaters and come back and say, that is not what it was put up to be. I'm like, I could have told you, but they didn't let me tell you. And so I hate the idea of being a salesman. And there's so many, like there was a gentleman that called me the other day, and on my cell phone, by the way, and he says, you know, I'm from such and such a place, and I understand that you're not going to make a decision on the phone, but please let me send you this in the mail. And I said, well, sir, you know, I understand, but I'm just not interested at this time. Well, I can understand. Then he went through the whole spiel again. Please let me send you something. And after a couple minutes, I said, sir, I'm really not interested at all. You know, I'm kind of busy. He goes, well, here, just let me confirm this, and I'm going to get somebody else on the line to confirm this. And I said, no, bye. Psh. Gave him two chances, and the third chance, he wouldn't stop, and I said, bye. I felt bad because, you know, at times, we're at the door, too, knocking on people's door and wanting them to have enough patience to hear the plan of salvation. That always runs through my mind when I tell somebody no. But God wants us to be profitable. And so if that is the task he has for us, do it with all your heart. To him. Not for myself, not for yourself, but for him. His life was a life of work. These were not easy tasks. And here in Mark 2, verse 17, he had to call sinners to repentance. Not an easy task. You know very well. John chapter 6, verse 38. John chapter 6, verse 38. John chapter 6, verse 30, it says, for I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. That means conforming oneself. That's work. That's work. With one last one here, John chapter 12, verse 47. John 12, 47. John 12, 47. It says here, and if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not. For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. A lot of work, a lot of labor involved with all these things. But it was worth it because in the end, he reached that level of profit when he said, it is finished. He reached success. It was all done. He didn't have to go through anymore. It was a matter of closing his eyes and being done. And 3 days later, waking up to never experience another problem again, physically, spiritually. He reached it. There was a lot of labor involved. Now I have to ask us a question, or a few questions. Do we realize that in the Word of God, 12 times it asks this question, what profit, or what doth it profit? So we have to ask ourselves, what is this profiting me? What good is this for me? And I had to chuckle because in my studying this, I came across the verse in Ecclesiastes 5. And you go with me here in Ecclesiastes chapter 5 because we just got done with a roof. In Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 16. Ecclesiastes 5:16. See, most of the time, I would, well, at least when I'm preparing a message, this is really for me. the entire time I'm thinking about this message, it's really meeting my needs. And so I hope this is a blessing, but and maybe it's stepping on a shoe, I don't know. But here in Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 16, the Bible says here, "And this also is a sore evil, that in all points as he came, so shall he go. And what profit hath he, and what profit hath he that hath labored for the wind?" And we were up on the roof, and it was windy, and the snow was blowing, and sometimes you'd put a shingle down, and the wind would want to pick that shingle back up, and you really can't get much accomplished on a roof in the wind. And when I was doing this, when we were all participating on this in this roof, it reminded me of years ago when Sam and I and Mark used to work together, and as a matter of fact, on this job, Josh Pyatt was working, and it was a 17-12 pitch. I mean, it was almost like one of those steeples down there in Grand Rapids. It was just almost straight up and down. You put these roof jacks on the roof, and you just pretty much stood to nail the shingles on the roof. And it was cold, and it was icy. And I can remember one morning we had a third of the roof done, and we were going to work on another third that day. And I wasn't much for wearing hoods. I had a hat, but Sam, he got out of his pickup truck, and he had a knit hat and his hood over his head, and he had his hands in his pocket, and I looked at him, and he looked at me, and he said, "Do we really want to do this today?" Because it was one of those piercing winds that gave you a headache as soon as you got out of your vehicle. And I said, "No, I don't think so." And so we both got in our trucks, and we both went home. We knew that day, the climate was such that we weren't going to be profitable. There was no way to make any kind of advancement. It was snowing too hard. The wind was too strong. And so we went and did something else that was profitable, hopefully. I can't remember. But in our lives, too, we must understand. It's just like was read this morning in Philippians 4:13. I can do all things in Christ. Christ does not want us wasting time, valuable time. Remember profit? It's a valuable return, a gain. So God does not expect us or want us to mess around digging a hole in a mud pit. There's no purpose in it. God wants us to have purpose in our lives. And so laboring for the wind makes no sense. It blows away and it's gone. In Psalms 30, verse 9, it talks about what profit is there in the death, in the blood, without any life, in the grave. What profit is there in that body? There's no profit. In Genesis 25, 32, it talks about what profit is there in possessions that are nothing for God or for His work. Like I said, those guys in the jail, they had possessions. They had their fancy truck, they had their car, they had their weapons, but in a heartbeat, they were in jail without access to any of them. You know, the world, I guess, kind of coined this idea, what would Jesus do? But I think we need to ask ourselves the question, what does this profit? What does this profit? Well, as we've seen that in true labor, there is profit, and in that labor, there is sacrifice, we've also seen that there is a reward. That salvation was paid for. And go with me to Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15. Verse 7. Luke 15, verse 7. Luke 15, verse 7 says, "I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance." It's just like that little baby that looks up into its mother's eyes with a smile, and the mother is not thinking about all of the turmoil that she went through to give birth to this creature that cries and whines and has to have its filter changed, as Brother William says, and all of these nasty things, or burping up on people's knitting. We were at the gym Friday night, and Christina, Charity, ripped up on Kelly's knitting project in the back. And oh my goodness, there's all these kinds of projects. But when you see the eyes and the smile, the sparkle there, you don't think of all of those times of turmoil. You just think about the great blessing that it is. And when a person comes to Christ as Savior, there is joy in heaven, and all of the work on the cross is in the past. there's only joy. In Ezekiel chapter 33, Ezekiel chapter 33, verse 11, Ezekiel 33:11. Ezekiel 33:11. Say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways. For why will ye die, O house of Israel? It gives God no joy to see the wicked dying. Absolutely no joy. And so if a person is here this morning and does not know for sure that heaven is your home, beyond a shadow of a doubt, he is not rejoicing over your life. He wants you to put your life in his hands. What profit is there in our lives? What profit are we rejoicing in? There's only one thing, and that's serving God. Matthew 5:12 says, rejoice and be exceeding glad. Rejoice and be exceeding glad. And it says that after all of the Beatitudes. In other words, serving him. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this day, and thank you for your word. And I just pray, God, that this question would be a challenge in our hearts this week as we think of Christmas. What doth it profit? What profit is there in what I am doing for you, Father? I just pray that you would work in our hearts as only you can do. And I thank you that it's your job, it's your responsibility, that we as your creatures just participate in your will and we spread your word. And Father, the rest of the convincing is in your hands. I thank you for that, Father, because there would be so much pressure if it was our responsibility. And Lord, you've just taken that yoke upon you, and you've made ours so easy. And yet so many times we fail even in the easy things. So Father, help us. Work in our lives as it is your desire that we walk with profit, walking in your will. In Jesus' name, amen. Pastor.